This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County, and Cannon County also today. We're going to have a special remembrance of one of our dear friends today, and that's Dr. Leon Ruhlin, a gentleman that really it's hard to put him into any category because he was so knowledgeable and well-respected in so many fields. And we have Mr. Greg Tucker on today, which is unusual for you to be on this particular Tuesday, Greg.
Oh, I'm getting in the habit. Tuesday morning, I think I ought to be on the radio. But this is a special opportunity, just to say something about a very dear friend and an exceptional personality that I appreciated my relationship with.
And we have Mr. Andy Bryson on today from Cannon County, and former owner of the newspaper over there, and a man that probably knows Cannon County as much as anybody, or as well as anybody.
Good morning, Sheriff. It's an honor and privilege to be here with you today.
And I am not Sheriff. I am a radio person.
Yes, sir. A radio star.
Yeah. And speaking of stars, we have Mr. Dan Whittle, a gentleman that's probably known by more people in this area than anybody else for a number of reasons, and glad to have you on today, Dan.
Well, I'm here to underwhelm you.
You know, one thing about it, you always say that, and you're always managed to succeed, and I really appreciate that.
You like consistency.
Yeah. And one thing about it, our friend Dr. Leon Ruhlin, He reached out to everybody. He reached out through all classes, all types of occupations. He was very instrumental in, as everybody knows, in the health of Cannon County. And I think, Greg, one of your closest memories would be when you were working on saving the hospital for the people in Woodbury in Cannon County.
That's right. That was what really brought us together. I did not know Dr. Ruhlin until mid-1990s. I had just fairly recently retired as attorney for Hospital Corporation of America, and I knew that they owned the hospital up there. And I had dinner with the administrator, and he told me that they were in the process of closing the hospital. The only hospital facility in the county, only secondary care available in the county. And I said, well, no, you know, that's not going to be good for the county. What's going to happen? He says, well, we're not sure, but they've already begun moving out services. They also own the hospital over in McMinnville. Anyway, he said, there's a group of doctors who are talking about trying to buy the hospital, and they don't know what they're doing. Would you be willing to meet with them? So I said, well, yeah, I'll be glad to meet with them. I went one evening, and there was a group of doctors, and there were two or three of them that were talking big about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And there was a handful of them that were sitting there shaking their heads negatively, and one fellow sitting very quiet but listening closely. They asked me some questions, and I explained to them some of the things that might need to be done. The meeting went nowhere. After the meeting, Leon Ruhlin approached me. And he was the one who had sat there and listened intently, but said nothing. He came up to me and he said, he introduced himself and said, this group's not going to be able to do anything. He said, there's nobody here that knows what they're talking about. And he said, speaking of himself, he says, I'm a doctor. He didn't tell me what else he was. He says, I'm a doctor. He said, I know absolutely nothing about finance, running a hospital. And I'm not about to get into that with this group, but if you'll step up and do it, I'll work with you. Mm-hmm. And that to me is, I was flattered, but it's also rare that someone is so willing to appreciate their own limits and is willing to trust someone else that they've known for a matter of a couple of hours there. And I said, let me think about it and ask some questions. So I talked to some people around the community and learned more about Dr. Ruland. And I called him back in a couple of days and I said, Leon, if you'll essentially give me your reputation, let me use your name, make you the front man. I said, I think we can do this. And long story short, I approached the bank and went to banks in Murfreesboro, and they said no. I went to a bank up in Woodbury, which at the time was Union Planters. Bill Smith, Steve Smith was still there. And I said, Dr. Rulin and I want to buy the hospital. And they said, well, let us know how much you need. Mm-hmm. I went to HCA, and of course they knew me, but their first thing was, well, now do you have the support of the medical community? And I said, my partner's Dr. Leon Rulin. Mm-hmm. And they said, let's talk price. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we did it. I stayed in the background, and Leon was willing to be out front, and he enjoyed being out front, but he would say to me about once a week during that period, he said, you're going to keep me out of jail, aren't you? which, obviously, we weren't on the edge of the law, but I knew what he meant by that, and that was, Greg, I don't really know what you're doing. I don't understand it, but I'm confident that this is going to work. And we went forward on that basis. And even after we got the hospital and had set up our own board, we brought in, of course, after for a brief period, I was the sole owner of a hospital. And a couple of days after we did the transaction, I sat down with Rulin, and we parsed it out based upon investor money that was available and what he could put up. He did put up some of his own money, and we syndicated it. And thereafter, it was a board of primarily physicians. We did get Bill Smith and who's the furniture man?
Paul Reed.
Paul Reed to come in as community investors, which mm-hmm. helped again with credibility. And I'm sure they came in only because Dr. Rulin was there. But when we would have our board meetings, Leon and I would get together before and rehearse because, again, he wasn't sure he understood what was happening, but we would rehearse. And most of the time it went right according to the script. I always sat just right at his elbow. I can remember a couple of times when something would come up and he would stop and look at me. You know how he would do his eyes mm-hmm. when he was, and he'd kind of big-eyed like, what's going on now? And we'd confer a little bit, and he'd do it. And it was a lot of fun for a while. I did learn that Leon was rare in the medical community because he wanted to do long-term, develop the hospital over the long term. And some of the other physicians were most anxious to take out as much money as they could, as quick as they could. So eventually we had to change the ownership arrangement. I do remember, though, that he was... I call him a Renaissance man because he had done so many things and loved to do so many things. And among things that aren't often mentioned was aviation. Mm-hmm. He had owned a plane, knew a lot about aviation. One of the first things he wanted to do when we got full ownership of the hospital was build a helicopter pad. Mm-hmm. He designed it. He decided where it wanted to go. And I went along with it because I learned that when they needed to bring in the helicopter to transport an emergency, the first thing they had to do is run around the hospital and get everybody to move their car because the only place to land the helicopter was in the parking lot. And so Leon designed this state-of-the-art helicopter pad, and we got several of the helicopter pilots to comment on the quality of it and the positioning and such as that. And we'll talk about it a little later, but if you were ever in his office, it was, again, evidence of how much he enjoyed designing and trying to make things work. Even after we moved on from the hospital, we stayed very close friends. We'd get together regularly. And he was my doctor, consultant on a number of things, put my son's hand back together when he ran it through glass. Mm-hmm. And he also was very good at knowing his own limits as a physician because he was very quick in several instances to refer us to others. And I knew when he referred me to somebody that would be someone of top quality. But I enjoyed very much that relationship.
One of the things that you were saying is something I remember very strong about him was that he was very accomplished in medicine. And you were talking about flying and some of these other things. He loved law enforcement, as everybody in the state knows. But he put a lot of faith in people. If he felt comfortable with you being knowledgeable about a certain subject, he went with you. He did not interfere with those ideas, which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a rare quality, and particularly among, I got a lot of friends in the medical profession. They know my usual attitude. But doctors have very big egos. They're accustomed to being in charge. I'm going to tell you what to do for your good, and if you're smart, you'll do it.
Right.
I'm a doctor. Leon could recognize his limit and the strength someone else had, and if he decided that you were the right one for something, my experience, you know, he was 100% with you, extremely loyal, backed you up, stayed with you all the way.
Well, now, Andy, from the perspective of a person who's been in Cannon County most of their lives, and you've probably had a number of dealings with Dr. Rudin. In fact, I'm sure that you have. With all the things that he was involved in the community, being a medical physician and working so close with some of the government officials, especially in the law enforcement field. Tell me some of the things that you remember the most about Leon.
I first met Dr. Rudin in probably 71 or 72. He hadn't just gotten to Woodbury. And my family physician was the late Dr. J.F. Adams. And he passed away several years before that, and I actually needed a physician to kind of take care of me and my family. Mm-hmm. And went to Woodbury, the old Good Samaritan Hospital at that time, in the basement, and Dr. Rudin was practicing there. And they sent me in to see him, and that's how it all started. I met him, and from the first day I went in and met him, I knew what kind of man that he was, and I could tell he was an excellent doctor. And that's how we struck up our relationship. And then I was associated at that time with the newspaper. And Dr. Rudin, I met him by going to crime scenes and that type of situation. He was always there. He was there representing the sheriff's department or the police department. And that was before he actually became county coroner. He was an outstanding person, and if it hadn't been for Mr. Tucker there and Dr. Rudin, I have no doubt that the hospital in Cannon County would have actually closed, and everybody in Cannon County would have gone either to Warren or DeKalb or Rutherford for medical care, and that would have been a terrible thing for county to have to go through with no hospital. And I really applaud Mr. Tucker and Dr. Rudin for putting themselves kind of out on a limb. I mean, the hospital wasn't doing real good, and they saw something there that a lot of people didn't see, and they took it upon themselves to purchase a hospital, and it turned out to be great for Cannon County and very good situation for them also.
You know, he was one of these people that I have seen it numerous times, and I know that you've seen more than I have, is how he got involved behind the scenes in so many things that he was interested in. And we were talking before that when they were building the jail at Cannon County, the new jail that they had to have, he went through, they had all the architectural drawings and everything, and they thought they all... people on the safety committee thought they had it all set up. Well, he took it on himself to come over here in Rutherford County, and we all sat down with him and showed him some of the things that probably need to be changed to make it more efficient, effective, and safer. And after he looked through it, he says, that's what we're going to do. See, that's what Greg was talking about and everybody else. When you knew Dr. Rudin and he had confidence in you, and of course you had a whole lot of confidence in him.
Right.
It was one of those things that he had a way of looking at the situation. He would analyze it, and more times than not, he's going to go with the people who are actually supposed to be the expert in that particular field. And that's one thing that made him so effective. I've seen it maybe one time here in Rutherford County of an individual who was this person was actually working with government, where they could take the whole situation and put it in perspective and make sure that they are able to get the right amount of information right. and the correct information to do something. And I know that Cannon County has been the beneficiary of that for a lot of years.
That new jail opened in March of 93. Well, Cannon County had actually been sued by an inmate up there mm-hmm. for bad conditions, poor conditions at the old jail, which was 100 years old at that time. Well, the sheriff at that time was the late Robert Simpson, who mm-hmm. was an outstanding good man.
Yes.
And you knew him, I'm sure,
as good as
anybody. He more or less, he didn't want to really get involved in all that. He knew the jail had to be built, and Dr. Ruland, like you say, was a member of we called it Law Enforcement Committee. And Dr. Ruland just took it upon himself, and he got with our architect, and they drew up plans. We came to visit your jail down here in Rutherford County. I came with him on two trips. One trip was to Coffee County Jail, and another one was to Rutherford County Jail. And Dr. Ulum took those plans back to the architect, and they would roughly draw them out and mm-hmm. make some changes and ask different sheriffs like you mm-hmm. for advice, and y'all helped him tremendously. Mm-hmm. And then they finally got together a final set of plans, and Sheriff Simpson told him to, if he was comfortable with it, to go ahead, and they presented it to the full commission, and it was approved, and wasn't a negative vote placed against it.
I think Dr. Ruland would have been an excellent architect, and
you're
he
correct.
Seemed to enjoy
yes.
getting into yeah. layouts.
He really enjoyed being active and doing that when Sheriff Simpson
yeah.
at that time said, you take it and you do whatever you think we need.
Well,
and that's what he did. He more or less drew it out himself.
Yeah, I'm sure all of you mm-hmm. had occasion to visit in his office, and of course mm-hmm. he built the office there. It's called the Woodbury Medical Clinic, I think,
yes.
now. And had the usual patient entrance in the front and the patient waiting area and a patient reception area. And then in the center of the building was the business offices and the lab and that kind of thing, and had a hallway all the way around that center that gave access to each one of the patient
right.
rooms on the side, visiting rooms. But there was another set of hallways. Every patient room had two doors, had the one came to the center and then had a door out the back.
Right.
And there's a long hallway on each side of the building behind the offices leading down into, of course, he and Dr. Wolf had corner offices on the back corner.
Correct.
You could go from Dr. Ruland's office up that back corridor and enter any one of those rooms without having to go through all the traffic in the center.
Right.
And I specifically asked him about it, and he says, well, patient privacy, my ability to move without being, you know, hampered by a lot of other things going on. And occasionally, you just like the privacy of being able to slip back to the office.
It was very unique the way they designed it. Yes.
And then he also, if you had business with him other than on a regular basis, other than as a patient, he'd give you a key. Some of you probably had keys. I had a key to the back door. So you could come in the back, and there's a little R&R area in the center of the back between the two offices. Wait for him there.
Right.
So you didn't have to bother with the patients,
ladies
interfere with the medical activity. He'd come in the back and wait. So I'd go in, be sitting there in his office looking at his trophies and his citations and his firearms. And he'd come back down that back corridor, you know, and we'd be able to visit a few minutes, and he'd back up that corridor to the patients.
Now, Andy, Cannon County has always been a clannish type county where it's just like going into Ireland, what I consider going to Ireland. If you go into a pub there and they don't know you, they're probably going to snub you for a long time until
right.
they can figure you out
yeah,
a little bit.
They're going to check you out for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of like Hardee's here in the morning.
Yeah, like Hardee's. Now, when he first came here many years ago, he was not from this area. But
nope.
this is where he decided to settle. What right. was the charm that he felt like in Cannon County? And how was it that he got to be the most trusted man in Cannon County?
I guess it started with his medical practice. He started seeing lots of patients, and lots of patients wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And word passed around, you know, there's a great doctor here, a new great doctor. He and Dr. Wolf came in at that time, pretty close to the same time. both of them were at that time were young doctors, and word passed around that their care and treatment of people was really good. And then Dr. Ulan got into the law enforcement more heavily, and people began seeing him, you know, more often there. Later on, he became the coroner and was coroner for over 20, probably closer to 30 years. Mm-hmm. And never got a dime, never asked for a dime, which saved Cannon County thousands of dollars. There's no telling how much he actually saved them on those lines. But people and see him on the street, and people liked him. They really did. And he liked being around people.
I think he was probably the most tireless man I've ever known in my life.
Yes.
Because he had a full practice, medical practice, but yet he traveled around the state. He loved law enforcement officials,
right,
whether they're federal, state, local, or whatever. And they, in turn, loved him. I mean, if they had a particular question they needed answered, or they had someone that may be sick in their department,
right,
Dr. Ruland would always accept them in. He never turned anybody down for anything.
Never.
And I can remember times maybe some law enforcement officials would be maybe not getting along, believe it or not. That happens every once in a while. And he would be a mediator.
Oh,
he would call somebody. If something was going on between an officer, say in our county, an officer in Cannon County, and they felt like that, you know, they needed to bond a little bit better, he would go to them. He was not afraid. And the thing about it is, just like Greg was saying, he had such a reputation that nobody was going to turn him down.
He knew people from one end of the state to the other, whether it was highway patrol or TBI or sheriffs or police chiefs. You know, he knew everybody, and everybody knew him and respected him.
Some of the nicest words I've ever heard were said at his funeral.
Yes.
And from we're talking about the top officials presently and in the past that were up there, and I think that we had just about, we covered the gamut of law enforcement.
I didn't mention
judges, DAs, everybody.
I didn't mention U.S. Marshals, but the U.S. Marshals.
Denny King did a great job.
Denny King was there, and he spoke and did a great job. And the former TBI director, Arzo Carson, who actually swore in Dr. Rulin at a very early age to be the doctor for the TBI, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a really special bond, and I guess there's not really many of us remember when Arzo was TBI, but he was a man of great integrity and great wit.
He was a great friend of later when Larry Wallace was TBI, mm-hmm, and now Mark Gwynn, and he was great friends with all those people. And if Cannon County needed something, Dr. Ruland made a phone call, and Cannon County got some attention real quick.
The ambassador for Cannon County.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, you're touching on a part of his life that a lot of people didn't realize.
Right.
I tease him about, you know, the dark side or his secret life, because he and I had been working together for a good while, and we had a reception over at the hospital, and we had a buffet set out. It might have been our homecoming, I forget, but we had a reception, and I needed to check with him about something, and I walked up to him, and I patted him on the back to get his attention, and immediately I forgot what I was going to ask him, and I turned to him, I said, "Leon, are you carrying a weapon?" He looks at me and says,
"It was an easy one."
Yeah. He looks at me and says, "Oh, yeah, I always do. I always go armed."
Maybe two.
Yeah.
And
one time later, I was over at his house, and we were watching TV, and something on the commercial or something reminded me that I had been thinking about making a purchase, and I was going to ask his advice, because I knew by then that he was an authority. And I said, "Leon, I've been thinking about a new handgun. What would you recommend?" And he puts his foot up on the coffee table and pulls his leg, his pants up, and he's wearing an ankle, what do you call it, a calf holster?
Yeah, well, they call them ankles.
And he pulls out his firearm, he drops the magazine out, he opens the breech and hands it to me and says, "Well, this model, I think, is something that you ought to consider." And I looked at it and I said, "Well, what's special about this one?" And he says, "Well, point it over there and squeeze the trigger, and it's a laser." you know, had some kind of laser sighting on him. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, where do you carry your extension cord? Don't you have to plug the damn thing in? He knew an awful lot about firearms.
He loved firearms,
and I'm sure he had owned many. But a little bit of a surprise there in the hospital. Found out my lead doctor is packing heat.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about Dr. Leon Rulin.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have low interest rates and ongoing market volatility jeopardized your financial peace of mind? There is a solution. Work with a professional that believes in safe money alternatives. For 24 years, Doug King of King Financial Management specialized in strategies that provide asset protection, moderate growth, and guaranteed retirement income. Call Doug today at 877-890-5489 so that tomorrow your money will be working smarter for you. Online at kingfinancialmanagement.com. That's kingfinancialmanagement.com.
Identity theft is when someone uses your name, social security number, credit card number, or other personal information to apply for a credit card or gain access to your money. Some believe it won't happen to them, but more finding out it can. For tips on how to keep your identity safe, visit gobbb.org or call me at 867-0032. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
It could be any moment the deer of a lifetime walks by, and you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
All right, now you hit that one, my boy.
We got camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street, just down from the old International Paper location.
The ex-husband of a missing Shelbyville Harris Middle School teacher has been ordered to stay away from his own child. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. All of this comes after alleged talk about burning his child's grandparents' home down. You may recall Shelley Mook's car was found burning in a field in Murfreesboro over a year ago. A temporary restraining order was issued against Tyler Mook, ex-husband of Shelley Mook, who disappeared in early 2011 after an emergency motion to suspend his visitation rights was filed by Deborah Sikora, Shelley Mook's mother and primary custodian of her granddaughter. During a hearing last week before a Bedford County Circuit Court judge, testimony was heard that alleged that Tyler and his mother, Kim Mook, allegedly talked with the girl about burning down Sikora's home in Pennsylvania. A restraining order was filed against Tyler, Kim, and also Jim Mook, the child's grandfather. A hearing is set for October 30th at 9 a.m. on the matter before Judge Russell. Despite Shelley Mook's car being found in a burned field, she remains missing. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. Have questions about acupuncture? Dr. Mark Kester has been a fellow of the International Academy of Medical Acupuncture since 1998. Call 895-1253 to set up your free consultation. In compliance with standards set by the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, Rutherford County will host a household oil-based paint collection on Saturday, October 20th from 8 to 11 a.m. That event will be held at 1140 Healy Road in Murfreesboro. The actual household hazardous waste collection day is Saturday, November 3rd from 8 to noon, but no paint will be accepted then. Can you afford to fill her up? The national average price of regular unleaded gas is $3.79, 2 cents less than last week. Florida's average of $3.72 is 4 cents higher. And Georgia's average of $3.63 is a nickel more. Tennessee's average of $3.55 is 3 cents higher, but you can find it discounted here in Murfreesboro at about $3.41 a gallon if you know where to look. This is WGNS News.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? You'd call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less. Safe Auto.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager. Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Truman Show now continues on the Voice of Rutherford County, WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us, and we want to let you know this part is brought to you by At Home Care. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, you can reach them at 713-4639. That's 713-4639 or online at homecaretennessee.com. At homecaretennessee.com. At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. Of course, when you're talking about the best care in Middle Tennessee, that was Dr. Leon Rulin, and a great friend. And you know, you had a good relationship, actually a very close relationship with him, Dan. And I know that he was one of your first friends that you made when you came into this community, and you did a lot of things with him. I know that it was special to you because you and I have talked about it quite a lot.
Yeah. My introduction to Dr. Rulin was that he had a VA, a veteran, that could not get treatment. He sent his hospital at Cannon County, couldn't treat the situation that this veteran had, medically speaking. He sent him to the VA here in Murfreesboro. They rejected and turned the veteran away. Well, that just infuriated Dr. Rulin. He called me up on the telephone, and I had yet to meet the man, said, "This is Dr. Rulin." Of course, I knew the reputation of Dr. Rulin. Said something from Cannon County, you listened. He invited me to go out to the VA, and you used me in the newspaper kind of as a weapon on the VA to get this patient treated. Mm-hmm. And we were about halfway through the meeting, and he turned around to me and with the York VA medical people and said, "Oh, by the way, this is my friend Dan Whittle with the Daily News Journal newspaper." Well, that shocked them. They were a reporter was sitting within their midst. They didn't like that, but you know what? They never rejected another patient that Dr. Rulin. One of the things Andy touched on was that he would treat anybody, whether you were the king of the mountain or a poor veteran from the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. whoever was in his office at the time was king, and that's the way he treated people. I think that's why he was so loved.
He was friends with everybody. Once you got to meet him, you're automatically his friend. I mean, that's just the way he was. He accepted you, and the thing about him is he never did get into a rut with anything. I mean, he was a physician. He was a law enforcement officer. He could drive a truck. The airways. I never saw anything he couldn't do.
An accomplished dog trainer. People didn't realize he loved his Rottweilers, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did.
And trained them himself. Mm-hmm. And he had cattle for a while.
And had a marvelous sense of humor. He had a wicked sense of humor.
And a family man. How many kids did he raise? Six or eight kids?
Yeah.
Eight.
Eight?
And a number of grandchildren.
We were in Demas Restaurant, a very public facility here in Murfreesboro. And his sense of humor surfaced one day. He brought me in a gigantic box. It was right after Viagra had came out. And on the side of the box says, "Viagra for Whittle." Mm-hmm. At Demas's restaurant, and of course the whole restaurant cracked up, all except Whittle. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, he had a marvelous sense of humor.
Was a big box.
Big box.
Sense of humor because that it was right there in front of everybody, because I had heard you call and order that from him while we were sitting there.
He said he got it. He got it for me in volumes. What was it? Wholesale volumes, yeah.
You know, you did so many terrible things to people in the newspaper, and I know it's all kidding, it's all tongue in cheek, but I know he had to get back at you a number of times, because every one of us has been victims of the sting of your pen.
Yeah, but I've repented for all of that, and he forgave me. We had a marvelous relationship. He was a man among men, mm-hmm. So varied, Renaissance man fits him, Greg. He was an expert in so many fields. He's just one of those rare individuals.
And people will wonder, why would he drive a semi across the country? And you know the reason why, yeah. Don't you, Andy?
Yeah, his son was a truck driver, and he wanted to go on some trips with him, and really liked, he wanted to drive one. He, mm-hmm. and went to school and got his CDL, I guess you'd call it, and he was a licensed truck driver. But it's just something else he enjoyed that a lot of people didn't know about.
What I appreciate about that was his son's connection. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he wanted something special he could do, yes. with David. I believe it was David.
Right. David,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a lot of effort to
sure
show
did.
His interest in what David was doing and to be part of it.
Right.
And they did. They rode together a number of times.
We had a special relationship, Dr. Ruler and I, with a special man in Rutherford County named C.L. Vickers.
Mm-hmm.
C.L. was one of Dr. Ruler's patients. In
Cannon County. You said Rutherford County.
Did I say, yeah? He's a Cannon County legend.
That's part of what we have to read reading his column.
Okay. But anyway, when y'all get my age, y'all will understand. But anyway, C.L. was a weather prognosticator, a character of Cannon County, a beloved colorful man of Cannon County, had some moonshine in his history, family heritage, but anyway, Dr. Rulin and him were big buddies, and he was one of Dr. Rulin's favorite patients, and every time we'd get together, I would come away with another column involving Dr. Leon Rulin and C.L. Vickers, Dr. Rulin, he didn't put a status symbol on any man or woman. Whoever was in front of him was the most important person in his life at that moment in time. That's a gift that Dr. Rulin had.
Now, he lost his wife about 10 years ago, you were
correct.
Telling me,
yes.
Andy. And, of course, they were extremely close, as everybody
yes,
knows.
Yes, her name was Norma.
Yes. And she was a major part of his life all those years, but Leon is one of these people, and I'm going to call him Leon because I don't want to just stay on the medical part, the doctor. Leon was Leon to us because he was such a good friend.
Right.
But he was one of those people that he was not going to let life pass him by.
Oh, no.
Oh, he had to be part of life every minute of every day. And he met Phyllis, and they
right.
they were married. And that has been such an interesting pair, because they have traveled and did everything together,
right.
and that's one of the things that's so amazing about him, because he was getting into the latter part of his life,
retirement.
Like a lot of us have, retirement and everything.
They enjoyed traveling.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing something 24 hours a day.
Yeah, he'd work when he was working. He'd work at the clinic, you know, nearly all day, and then if somebody needed him at the jail, he'd go over there and work till midnight or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just. And then get a call at the ER, and he'd have to go do that. So he was just on the go all the time.
Yeah,
I have an amateur photography hobby. I made the
Stress
mistake.
The amateur.
Very amateurish. But anyway, I made the mistake of taking my camera to Leon Rulin one day, and I was proud of it, a new camera. He knew more about cameras, or forgot more about cameras, than I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just that type of man. He appreciated the arts. He's very supportive of the Arts Center of Cannon County, which is, he helped put Cannon County on the map, nationally speaking. He's just quite the man.
I think one of the greatest tributes to Leon was when they gave him his retirement and to honor him for all of his years of service in Cannon County. And I can't remember, I was there, the place that they had was right off the Murfreesboro Road. I can't remember what the name of the place was. But anyway, everybody from all walks of life was there that had been in Cannon County for 50, 60 years or more. And people came in from all across the state. And I was just totally amazed at the affection that everybody, it was almost like it was a family get together, but right. It was a family get together mixed with all classes, all types of people, and they were all there just for one particular person, and that was to honor Leon. And
yes,
that was very impressive. I don't know who put that on, but it was, you probably know, Andy, but I
can't remember right now, but it was very well done, and like you say, lots of people turned out, and law enforcement people, and just very business people, and just common, ordinary people that he had treated or he was friends with.
I know you were talking about when you started the hospital or took it over, and do you ever remember Leon, I know you worked with him on a number of other issues. Do you ever remember him ever taking credit for anything?
He enjoyed being out front. He enjoyed getting credit, but it was always coming to him. He wasn't one that stood up and tried to
Never beat his own chest.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate that he didn't have to because he had done so many things for so many people in so many different circumstances that. You know, and he had confidence that when you know you're appreciated, it gives you confidence to do other things. And I think that was true of him. And because you know, when we would have our meetings or whatever, he would rise to the occasion, and you could tell he enjoyed being, you know, the one out front. But he was very quick when something came up where someone else deserved credit to make a point of that. And even not too long ago, before he got sick, he called me one day and says, "Let's get together some of the principals from our venture." And we had lunch over at Demas's, and he invited people from the bank and the chief nurse and the administrative assistant, just those of us that were kind of the core working group, just to once again say thank you. And I appreciated that. And to remind people, you know, who had been involved and who had done what, and just spontaneous on his part.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at some point, Andy, that somebody doesn't erect something, some type of remembrance, a statue or whatever. You know, you think back at all these things that have happened, just like Boys Town, they put the statue of the father there and things like that, and to me, he was almost like the top patriarch in Cannon County. Whenever I wanted to do anything, needed something done in Cannon County, for whatever it was, I would always call him. Always. You had all these top officials there and whatever. But for some reason, I always knew that I could trust him to get things done, and I knew he had the name and the ability. And I think that, you know, we all could take a lesson from him how many people ever have the opportunity to let your name do your work for you, because you have, first of all, you have to earn that particular title.
Takes a lot of work to get to that position.
It does take a lot of work.
But he certainly.
But you're right, you could call him. And most of the time, he could solve your problem. But if he couldn't, he would find somebody that could solve it and get it solved.
Mm-hmm.
But more than likely, he could get it done himself, and did on numerous occasions, just like you're talking about.
I enjoyed his ability to make the understatement, you know, kind of low key. Back on his carrying his weapons, I knew he was traveling a lot, and I said, "Well, you're not getting on the plane with all that, are you?" He said, "Well, yes." I said, "How do you do that?" And in a very soft voice, he says, "I have papers."
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah.
I didn't ask to see the papers.
But usually the pilots wanted to have a conversation with the individual who was traveling armed on the plane.
Yeah, he says they always knew he was on the plane.
Yeah. And it's amazing what the power of not only a good name but a weapon will do when you're on the plane, because a lot of times the pilots, would ask us to sit up there with them sometimes. And that was interesting to watch them kind of take it easy while we're flying all those thousands of feet in the air.
Well, he never told me he had flown a 747, but now that you mention it, he may have.
It would not have surprised me one bit. It really wouldn't. You know, he had such a good sense of humor, Dan. And I would see it a lot of times when you two were together, because you were always picking at each other and had special names for each other and things like that.
He prescribed laughter as a strong medication for people. This Halloween, he gave me a skeleton out of his physician's arsenal, a complete body skeleton, and each Halloween I display that skeleton as the kids come up to
your kid
to haunt me and everything. And of course, I've got it labeled Dr. Rulin. You know,
he had a
marvelous.
That is a real skeleton.
I don't think so, but the kids think it is.
Oh. Well, you know, that's kind of opposite of you, a skeleton, and you.
he had a marvelous, wicked sense of humor. I loved him. Yeah, and laughter is a great medicine. He believed in that.
Andy, since you've been out of the newspaper business, and of course we're talking about Andy Bryson, how is it? Do you miss that closeness with the community? I mean, in the newspaper business, you have to have contacts all over the community, and even here in Rutherford County, because I've known you for a number of years.
Yes,
and
sir.
Always had a great working relationship with you. How is it once you get out of there, and could you maybe prepare Dan for when he's going to be out, whether it be quickly or whatever?
I honestly miss it.
I miss
being in contact with the people and seeing people and talking to people. And people would come in and ask you questions. They'd come in and ask your advice and want your opinion on something. And I got to know a world of people in that manner. And it's different. It's when you go home and sit down as to being there every day on the square and getting to see and talk to people. You have to get adjusted to it, and I found that out.
Andy is the type of community journalist that journalism is all about. He put back into the community that was so good to him. He was involved in his community. How many years did you serve as the chairman of the grand jury
for 20 years.
20 years. Unpaid.
While you were...
We got paid now and then.
Did you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
While you were over the newspaper?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Sounds like a conflict. What do you think, Greg?
Clearly. Clearly.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Greg Tucker, Andy Bryson, and Dan Whittle.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
I am True Blue. Join us as we honor the armed forces for the annual Salute to Veterans football game against North Texas on Saturday, October 27th at MTSU's Floyd Stadium. $14 to $20 tickets are on sale now.
Show your True Blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
We're talking with this area's only certified physician in heart CT, Dr. Rishi Saxena. Before you have a stress test or heart catheterization, consider the 64-slice CT scan.
We could find the same information without taking too much risk.
It only takes minutes, there are no needles, and it could show things other tests miss.
You could act on it and prevent heart attack and death from happening.
No referral is necessary for the 64-slice CT scan. Call 896-4800 and make an appointment with Dr. Rishi Saxena.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. We'll provide low-cost quality protection and claim service. And if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank in Murfreesboro. If you're in the market for a loan of any sorts, please call my friend Steve Smith and let Steve show you the personalized service available at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're conveniently located at 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Again, please call Steve Smith, 615-494-4200 at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Greg Tucker and Andy Bryson and Dan Whittle. And we want to let you know this last part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. And all this month, when you mention you heard it on WGNS, get free front wiper blades. Let me try that again. Get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. Hear that again. All this month, when you mention you heard it on WGNS, get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. And you guys were mentioning something off the air that we didn't even bring up, is that was when meth became a major problem. In fact, I think it became a major problem in Cannon County before it did Rutherford, but it pretty much almost simultaneous. And the officers were working with something that they didn't realize the hazards of it. And Dr. Rulin was instrumental in making sure that all the officers, when they went in there, they knew how to operate with the system, with him a lot of times being there.
Oh, yeah. It's a very dangerous chemical reactions. And he made sure all the deputies had masks and suits and made sure they didn't get contaminated. And it's very dangerous stuff. But Dr. Rulin held some classes actually with the deputies and made sure that they knew what they were getting into when they were called out.
I think I first heard of it when they had a meth lab blow up about a half a block, 50 yards from his office.
Yes,
right beside the city park. A little motel or an apartment there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The motel next door to his office, so yes. They had a meth lab blow up in the basement.
He had close experience with it.
He could look out nearly his window and see it.
You know, this man was 24/7, 30 years, the coroner of Cannon County, 24/7, murders, rapes, meth labs, mm-hmm. not one dime. Seminars all across the state, he did not take a cent reimbursement mm-hmm. for his expenses. These type of men don't come along very often.
And you think of, and you talk about seminars and the training that he had. He had as much training probably in the last 20, 25 years of his life in law enforcement as he did in the medical field, because I know he was always reading up on things in the medical field. Right. But there was something about him learning all these things that he was able to put it into practice over in our local communities to aid all the law enforcement agencies. And he was, in my mind a lot of times, he was the number one law enforcement officer in the state. Who else had the friendships and the name that people honored so much all the way across the state? And I'll guarantee you, we all went through schools and all that, and you're talking about the DAs and you're talking about the judges, but I don't think anybody had any more knowledge of what went on in the law enforcement communities across the state than Leon did. And that's held true in the medical field also. So, I mean, what else can you say about the man?
I know when you visited in his office, there'd be a stack of medical journals, but he always had a stack of legal law, mm-hmm. Law enforcement, And, of course, his firearms catalogs were all in his office.
Leon advised me he wasn't a pretentious man. He was a proud man in an humble sort of way. He told me, he said, always have you an older physician, but always have you a younger physician, too. And, you know, there's
sounds
wisdom
like good
to that.
Advice.
Yeah.
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 That sounds like the perfect physician, doesn't it?
It was. He was. Yeah.
Well, what are your fondest memories of Leon, Andy?
He was just a true friend and treated people with the best of care, and he cared about people, cared about his community. I'm going to truly miss him.
Well, when you think about him, I can tell the emotions kind of ride up in you.
Yes.
Because you come across these people probably just once in a lifetime that you know that they love you, you know you love them, and you have so much respect for them that it doesn't matter what's going on. They're the ones that you're going to turn to when times get hard or there's something special that you need to have done. And, everybody's sitting here, all four of us, have had such a special relationship with him. And it's one of those things that we'll never forget, we'll always carry through. And every one of us could probably write a book about...
Yes.
And it would cover everything. It would cover the hard times, the good times, and the times, the learning experiences with him. But they're all positive, and it's something just like when Greg was asked to help with the hospital, he automatically linked on to you at that meeting, and you.
Yeah, it was. We all have very close friends, but usually a close friend develops slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, it was amazing to me that we got very, very close, very, very quick.
And being in the, and which is odd, being in the media like you were, Dan, here, and originally in the state of Tennessee, you were in Nashville at the mm-hmm. Banner, and then you came over here. A lot of times it's hard to get close to journalists because, you know, it's...
Some inherently unattractive.
Yeah, it is. like a gunfighter coming into town or something like that. You never know when they're going to draw their pen, which is mightier than a sword.
Yeah, we had a trust. As far as I know, I never violated that trust. And if Leon Rulin asked me to keep something confidential, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he trusted that. He had that relationship
I'll
with Andy.
The same thing. If he asked me not to... say anything about something that was going on, an investigation, or even a story concerning law enforcement that was about to happen, and he asked me, could you hold that? Mm-hmm. I honored his request and never violated that.
You know, you and Leon had a special relationship, and I think a lot of that attributes, Andy, that when you own a newspaper, you're entrusted with responsibility.
Yes.
When you're local for that whole community.
Especially a small community.
Yeah, and you're talking about a family community in Cannon County. So you basically go about your business a little bit different than, say, if you have a large corporation that owns newspapers across. You have a different view of things, don't you?
You have to have. You have to treat things a little differently than you would in a big, say the size of Murfreesboro.
Yeah. You have your own communication system.
Right.
And it's pretty much
you get close
all
to,
supportive and positive, isn't it? Most of it is.
You get close to chief of police, the sheriff, and Dr. Rulin being the coroner. You get to know those people, and you get to know them real well. And Dr. Rulin worked, I know of it, at least seven sheriffs that he worked for. And every one of them he got along with. Just never had a minute's problem with any of them. He got along with everybody.
You have you ever seen the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the newspaper?
T-Bone?
No. You're close. Wishbone. Shin bone star.
Yeah. Shin bone star.
Yeah. And that is one of the best parts of that whole movie.
Right.
Because you got a local editor, writer. I mean, he does everything. He says he even sweeps up the place.
That's right.
And I think that was kind of really interesting, the attitude, because it's kind of like the attitude that you had when you were the owner, editor, operator. You took care of everything.
Took the garbage out.
Yeah.
Whatever needed to be done, you do it.
That was a way of life for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Since I was 10 years old. Started selling papers on the street after school and ran a job press and set type and just whatever needed to be done.
His first job at 10 years old, the publisher, which was his uncle at that time, of the Courier, sent him to the hardware store to get a paper stretcher. it was a joke. But he went.
I went.
You know, the strong thing, all four of us come from different areas. I mean, different ways of life, different occupations and everything. But he had that way of bonding everybody together. And the friendships that we have here and the friendships, a lot of it is actually initiated through Leon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing. The seeds that he's planted in this area, I mean, they'll grow on forever.
Like Dan said, he got along with everybody, whether you were rich or poor, it didn't matter.
You're right. It's Leon's fault that I know Dan Whittle.
Yeah.
Well, not everything turns out positive.
And as usual, I came in just to be a blessing to your guys. That is the Whittle way.
You have been a blessing to us. You really have. And I'm going to say something nice about you. You're one of the dearest friends I've had over all these years. And one thing about friendship is you take each other serious, but you don't take each other serious. I mean, you can, in the hard times, you want to be there, but you also want to be there during the good times when you can laugh and really don't take yourself serious at all.
Driving over this morning for this program, I was thinking, wow, to be Leon Rulin's friend is a very high compliment in the scheme of life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a powerful man.
Oh, certainly.
Well, let's hope he's standing there next to St. Peter when we go up, so maybe he'll give us a pass.
I'm sure he got in because he had papers.
Well, it's been really nice here, and it's been a great situation for all of us to talk about Leon, and there's nothing that we can say that can live up to him and all the things that he meant to everybody in his communities. And so we're going to sign off and let you know that tomorrow we're going to have another special person on, and that's going to be Mr. Fain Haynes. And we're going to continue on from his first day with us when we talked about landing at D-Day and the Battle of the Bulge and being captured. And then we're going to go on with that starting tomorrow morning at 9:00.